Amber Barrett, 10 for the Republic of Ireland. Amber Barrett from 4 yards out.
OTB live commentary. Never miss the action right here on OTB Sports Radio.
But delighted to say Paul Galvin at a 8:15 joins us on the line. Good morning to you, Paul.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Flying, thanks. We've lots to get to you. The sort of state of the club game and a few other bits and bobs as well besides. But the Kerry final, obviously, this weekend, and kind of an interesting pairing, isn't it, with the two Tralee teams, Cairns O'Reilly's and Onas and Stax. Two managers who know each other well. Stax going for 4 in a row, I believe, and by all accounts, odds on to do it. Is that right?
Well, they're good. They'll be going for 4 in a row next year in the club championship, but... No, he's Kerry back-to-back champion. So,
okay, it's this weird Kerry championship thing.
It gets us all.
But but favourites to get it done, Paul.
I think just about. Like, I mean, I've never known a game to generate as much excitement in Kerry as this one has in the last couple of weeks. I think everybody, when the semi-final pairings arose, I think everybody was hoping for this final. And we've got it, so it's created a huge buzz. I think it's great for Kerry football, not just Tralee Town. Funny enough, there are very few county championships gone to Tralee in the last 25 years or so. There's only been 2 or 3 county championships gone to Tralee to these clubs, so they've probably been underachieving at county championship level. Stax have won club championship, the last 3 club championships, but at county championship level, they won in 2014, and prior to that, I think it was maybe 2000 and early noughties. So Rahalies would have won one in the early noughties under Bomber Liston around 2002-2003. So in terms of county championships, historically these clubs have been kind of they've been the top clubs in Kerry, but it's been a bit lean for them. It's been a bit lean for them over the last 20-25 years, which I think has been something of a factor in the context of Kerry football as well.
Like, it's an interesting one. Like, obviously, the fact that divisional teams exist dilutes the possibility for an all-Tralee final, for sure. But are you sensing a shift towards, not towards the north of the county, but are you sensing like a growth in certain areas in Tralee, around Tralee, where football is coming up good again? Because, as you say there, it's been a long time since the good times have been exclusively held by that town.
Yeah, it has been on, yeah. And I mean, Tralee is an interesting town from the point of view of football. There's lots of Tralee teams doing well. We'll say the Brendan's board that were in the semi-final would have two of the other two Tralee Town teams would play in the Brendan's division that played against Stax in the semi-final. And the Na Gael club there, who are part of Brendan's, are in the intermediate final, went to an All-Ireland junior final a number of years ago. John Mitchell's, who would have been traditionally the other big club in Tralee, have started to come on strong enough again of late. So Tralee is a very interesting town from the point of view of clubs and football. I look at the big towns in Mayo. We'll say like Castlebar, you have Castlebar Mitchells. In Ballina, you have Ballina Stephenites. In Westport, you have Westport. And in Tralee, you have 4 town teams. And then you have 3 or 4 or 5 other teams, competitive club teams in the hinterland as well of Tralee. So it's actually lots of clubs in around Tralee, and they're all competing against each other at a level. And I think I'm personally very happy anyway to see these two teams in the final, and I think it's important for Kerry that Tralee football is strong and that the town teams are competing for finals, including the Na Gaels and the John Mitchells, not just Stax and Rahalies.
Chatting to a few people down there this week, Paul, there's a sense that maybe Sunday won't be the greatest game of all time. There's maybe a little bit of a snobbery, as you can guess, probably people not from Tralee or from around that area that exists around this final. But this is a good thing, right? This is a good thing for any county who perhaps have a traditional sense of free-flowing football, that there is a bit of innovation when it comes to a winning team, and especially with what Austin Stax have done this year, whether it was completely shutting down East Kerry in their first game of this championship or the way they won that semi-final, that sort of tough defending based on a really strong system. I think if you take that and put that to county level, that's a positive thing for where Kerry want to go in terms of winning football.
Yeah, it's certainly they certainly have a style of play anyway. They have a very, very we'll say deliberate style of play. Stax have traditionally probably they're more they would be a kind of a flair team. You know what I mean? They've always produced outstanding natural footballers, and this year I've seen them twice or three times this year now, and they were the team I've been looking out for a number of years, really, but particularly this year. So I've seen a bit of them, and but their style of play, yeah, I wouldn't call it defensive, but they're certainly very compact and organised, and they mind the ball a lot. They don't take too many risks. They don't put it up for grabs too much, and they have a lot of football in their ranks. They have a lot of pace and power in their ranks, and you know they're coached to know what to do and when to do it. So they're a tough nut to crack at the moment, certainly defensively, and they've loads of ability.
Not taking too many risks isn't exactly out of kilter, is it, with some of the finals we've seen? Paul, you mentioned Mayo earlier on, not a great expression of football in some ways. The Dublin final probably wasn't great either. I don't know, look at the conditions. I don't know if you could blame the conditions exactly, but is there a bit of a trend to that sort of not taking risks business?
I think so, Adrian. It looks to be the way the game has been played on the larger scale, even at intercounty level. It's a lot of risk. A lot of it is risk averse and not giving the ball away, which is understandable. But like, I don't know. It's certainly not a great spectacle. You love to see teams trying things, taking chances with passes, being creative and you know, playing a bit of heads up football. Like, you know, that's what I like to see. Anyway, but I think, you know, teams want to win, and I think for the last 2 years anyway, it's been difficult for coaches and teams, because I think contact time on the training ground has been obviously limited. And, you know, I think teams are doing this. I think the style of play at the moment is very deliberate, actually. I think teams have gone, right, well, our training time is down, our contact time is down. What can we get done in terms of systems and tactics and drills? We don't know. So let's make sure we're not doing anything silly. Let's make sure we keep the ball when we have it. Let's make sure that we're compact and defensively sound anyway, whatever chance we have. I think that's a large part of why the game is being played the way it is at the moment.
It did seem, though, this year, Paul, that we saw a lot more kick passing and maybe a bit more direct football than we were used to for the previous 5 or 6 years. But do you think that that's actually part of the control as well, that the players are programmed to know when to kick, and it is almost robotic in when they do it?
You mean as intercounty or club one?
At intercounty, Paul.
Yeah. I think at intercounty level, you've seen probably a bit more. You do see probably a bit more of a kicking game, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like Tyrone, I thought Tyrone used the ball really well, long and short. Like, you know, looking at them, they were very, very good with the ball, and again, they were quite deliberate, but I always felt they were trying to create. In everything they did, they were trying to create. No matter if it was kicking or playing through the hands, I always felt there was a purpose to Tyrone, and that they knew what they were trying to set up and what they were trying to achieve. So I really enjoyed watching Tyrone, actually. I couldn't say, Owen, if there has been kind of a more of a move towards kicking football at intercounty level. I can't say that I've seen massive signs of that, but I don't mind either way. If the game has been played to with a purpose and with a kind of a, you know what you're trying to do and what you're trying to set up, I think that'll be enjoyable regardless.
One of the things that was definitely true from this year's championship was that the middle third became an absolute war zone, and it became the department that if you win that area, you will win the game. I mean, Tyrone being All-Ireland champions is testament to that, and even Mayo on the way to beat Dublin is as well. I presume, as somebody who played in that department yourself, you're looking at that thinking, geez, I'd love to be out there, and this era of football may have even suited me better than the mid-2000s would have.
I don't know. I suppose in the last... we'll say at the start of the noughties, there was certainly a movement towards, or we'll say the middle of the last decade, we'll say it was certainly a move towards short kickouts. Towards the end of my career, there was a move towards short kickouts. There wasn't as much up for grabs in the middle third, we'll say. You became a different type of a player when there was no kickouts. You were just going into defensive. You were going into defensive mode straight away. And, you know, there was just different demands and on you. The middle third nowadays, the big thing I see in the middle third nowadays is that there's really kind of only one midfielder. There's really only one midfielder in the top teams. Like when I look at, we'll say, Tyrone have booked that trend this year with a midfield pairing, kind of an identifiable midfield pairing. But up to that, like, Kerry kind of had, David was the main Kerry midfielder. Brian Fenton was the main Dublin midfielder. Let's say Matty Ruan for the last number of years has been the main Mayo midfielder. It was kind of one main midfielder, and a kind of then the rest. That was my kind of read of the middle third over the last number of years. I found the Tyrone double, the Tyrone pairing, I was really, really impressed with from early on. The Monaghan game, particularly the Tyrone pairing, I was keeping a close eye on because they were almost a throwback. They reminded me a little bit of the Galway pairing of the early noughties, the Meade pairing of McDermott, McGuinness, the Galway pairing of Walsh and O'Donnell. They were a pairing and they were playing off each other, and one was doing one thing and one was doing the other. I think that's a big thing with midfield play and middle third play. Like, I think you always have to look for two different players. Like, you have to look for a number eight, particularly in Kerry. Anyway, I think the number eight in Kerry is much different to the number nine in Kerry. And so that's my big takeaway from the middle third over the last number of years. Up to this, it's been kind of one main midfielder and a whole load of everybody else. Tyrone looked at that and maybe saw it as well, and have changed that trend with a midfield pairing that are just dovetailing nicely. I must say I like the both of them. And I thought from the Monaghan game on, they were massive for Tyrone.
Even the
Donegal game in the Ulster final, I thought the both of them were massive. They do an awful lot for that team. They give that team the McGeary's, the Milers, the Hearts. The system, I think, is really built around those two. That's my big observation, I think, regarding middle third at the moment.
That's really interesting. And like, how did you find that then when you were involved with Wexford, actually coaching that and coaching in the middle of that trend towards, I guess, one midfielder or maybe back towards the two midfielders? I'm not sure where it was from your perspective as a coach.
Yeah, well, it was a key. Yeah, it was a key kind of spot for me. And I was looking for definite things out of each of them. And That's it's all relative. It's all kind of specific to how you want to play, and those two guys have a massive role for me, but one has to be one thing and one has to be the other, and you have to be able to kind of outline what those things are, coach and drill what those things are, communicate what those things are, and show why the opposite doesn't work. So, I'm not sure how much thought goes into midfield play at the moment, to be honest with you, on midfield players and who picks them and why they're being picked and what they're doing when they're out there and what they're not doing when they're out there. Like, I don't know what thought goes into that anymore in the game, to be quite honest with you. I don't, from the looks of it, I don't think a whole lot goes in at times.
It's clearly something you're thinking about. Are you constantly trying to keep on top of all these trends? Are you trying to stay on your toes? And I guess what I'm trying to ask you, are you trying to get it back in as a coach in some capacity over the next little while?
It depends on I'm not really in a position to at the moment. I'm not right. really in a position to engage. I'd like to, but I haven't been able to engage with people and engage with the game, unfortunately, for the last while with business. I started a new business in sportswear. That has been very, very time-consuming, and obviously I've been in business with Dunn Stores for 8 years now, and the last 2 years have been difficult from that point of view, just to make sure that you still had a business at the end of whenever this pandemic ends. Like, retail has been hit really hard. So my Dunn's partnership was top of mind for me. I've become really conscious of clubs and club provisions, my own club Fenuig, and so I started a sportswear company actually to try and serve clubs with, it's really a design agency for clubs actually, so that I can go and understand them, understand where they come from, who they are, what's important to them, and design kind of meaningful playing gear and training gear for them. So that has been occupying me for the last 2 years or so as well, this Cohan Athletic Club business. My family are a priority as well, of course. We had a new baby as well not long ago, so all those things have been kind of priorities. I haven't been able to engage really with people in terms of getting back in the game, but I'm certainly watching it, certainly watching it, and certainly I know I'm clear on what I want to do and what I don't want to do, you know.
It did strike me that you'd nailed your colours to the mast there with that T-shirt you're wearing, which only struck me about halfway through the with the colours of it through the chat here ahead of Sunday's game. What a lot of the gear, you just touched it there, but a lot of the gear tends to be not that bespoke. It's like sort of a one design kind of fits all. You sort of change the colours around, but what you're talking about is sort of getting under the skin a bit deeper, is it?
Yeah, for clubs, like I think. Clubs anymore. I just try to apply my Dunn's business model to the Gaelic Games market in terms of design and storytelling. And I think clubs and counties, but clubs particularly, have a lot of history and meaning and storytelling and community and local kind of local knowledge, basically, that might go amiss until you go talking to them and you find out about them, and you can design print this particular piece. This particular piece actually is based on a Tralee roundabout, the Joe Cahan roundabout next to Ossensack Park. The Ossensack Park where the game is played on Sunday is just it's kind of an iconic place for me. I grew up passing Ossensack Park almost daily as a young fella, and that whole area of Ossensack Park sits on John Joe Sheehy Road. Joe Cahan roundabout is up the road. Roger Cason train station is right next door. Ballymullen Barracks is right next door. Tralee is a really historic town, and I've just started to look under the hood of towns, clubs in towns, clubs around the country, really. And there's actually an amount of storytelling linked to clubs and the GAA in general in terms of historic storytelling. And you know, the guys will play in Ossensack Park on Sunday. Ossensack himself, like, has probably lost consciousness of who Ossensack was, why the club Ossensack is called Ossensack, why Ossensack Park is called Ossensack Park, why Cairns O'Rahilly's is called Cairns O'Rahilly's, why John Mitchell's is called John Mitchell. So that's the kind of stuff I look at, and I look a little deeper at these names that you find on county grounds and on club grounds and on street signs and roundabouts. And that's what I based this Cahan design and storytelling business on, and that's where I think clubs can be served maybe a little bit more, you know. Like you take Ossensack himself, was a massive figure, not just in football. He was on the first Kerry football team to win an All-Ireland. He possibly was captain. He was president of Kerry GAA. He was then also very prominent in actually setting up the court system in Ireland. So, like, in terms of the legal system in Ireland, Ossensack had a massive part to play in the formation of the court system. These types of things I like to look at, and I like to do it for clubs, and that's what we're doing. That's what I'm doing with Cahan Athletic Club, and I think there's a place for it. I think there's a place for that kind of meaning and storytelling and design led provision of gear for clubs. That's all. Yeah. But The game is the game, and I'm definitely watching the game closely.
Yeah, no, it's nice stuff, all right, and I'm sure there's plenty of clubs around the country that are paying attention to that chat as well. We can't let you away without asking you about, we've spent so much of the morning talking about United last night. Where do you sit after that game last night? Are you excited about developments now or apprehensive?
Well, I tell you, I didn't see the game at all, Adrian, because I got rid of my subscription there a long time ago, because I found Sky in general, I found a little bit unpalatable. Sky Sports News and all this stuff they go on, but I switched off from.
Well, it actually wasn't on Sky last night, but it did follow the path you might expect, Paul, in that it wasn't a game of great quality, and ultimately two fairly average teams decided by one of the greatest players to have ever played the game.
Oh yeah, good. That's good. At least we won anyway. I don't follow United on social anymore. I don't really follow United. I follow some of the players, but I've lost a bit of my... I can't identify with United at the moment. I just don't recognise what I'm seeing on the field compared to what... And not just what I saw in the glory years, but what I saw before the glory years when United were still full of it. They were still full of it. They were still full of effort, and it was just an edge about them, and they tried their backs off, and you know, they didn't win leagues and that, but they were a team you could identify with, and it was just something real about them. I just I just can't identify with what I see and what I hear from United at the moment on the pitch. And I have seen games. I do see games. I've seen the Champions League games and that, but I'd watch a bit on my phone. I don't know. I can't identify with the performances on the pitch, and I certainly can't identify with the social performances, which is what seems to be rewarded at the club these days. Like, it seems to be a kind of a, used to be more of a social club at the minute in terms of what's important there. So I don't know what to say. Yeah. Glad we got an all win. I'm glad we got an all win last night. Anyway, thank Arsenal.
Yeah. If you're not beating Arsenal, you're not up to much. The social media thing does seem to be a thing. All right, Paul. Listen, lots in that I'm sure we'll come back to again down the track. Thanks, Willie, for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Take care.
Paul Gavin on the line there.